If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays. And joining me today is not Diz, but our NFL expert, our Eagles expert, our expert in just about everything, Connor. Connor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Being the expert in everything, I figured you needed me.
Hey, I do, man. I mean, I need you all the time. It's a good thing that you work so closely with me in our actual job that you're just right there anytime I need you.
So closely, like 15 feet?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. All right, so you've heard us talk about this before. We're going to talk about it again. The Chalkboard app. I mean, we can't stop talking or praising this app. We just started using it for NFL and college football. And I mean, it's been game-changing. I mean, constant messages going back and forth throughout the entire weekend. Here's some bets I like. And we just get a bet together and win together. I mean, that's legitimately all we're trying to do here is bet together and win together. So it's the only app that allows bettors in legal states to sync and automatically track bets from sportsbooks like FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, PointsBet, Barstool, and so many more. As a sports bettor, it's super helpful being able to see breakdowns of your history on a profile and keep track of how you're doing over time. I mean, a lot of times when we make bets on here, we don't necessarily tweet out everyone. I mean, let's be honest. We're making all kinds of bets, some side bets, some live bets, whatever the case may be. But Chalkboard is there so we can literally see how we're doing. And it gives us a real life return on investment, like how we're doing units wise and all that good stuff. We always emphasize bet together, win together. And this app helps do just that. And I've been talking with the guys at Chalkboard, and they say their goal is to build an app that is basically Discord for sports betting combined with an epic bet tracking tool. I mean, what else could you ask for? So it'll be fun to keep watching them grow and to grow with us. And I definitely recommend you guys head over to the App Store and check it out today. And we do have a Sports Betting by Dummies group chat. I'm going to actually tweet out the link to that here shortly. And so you can tell it to anyone, all your friends, every single one of them. Let's get into this Sports Betting by Dummies group chat and Chalkboard. Let's make some money together. That's what it's all about. So make sure you guys go check out Chalkboard and the Sports Betting by Dummies group chat on there. All right. Week one is in the books. It's Overreaction Monday. A lot of kind of unexpected things happened today, or not today, this weekend, yesterday. And so we're going to talk about what our biggest surprise is from or was from week one. And for me, I think it was the Packers getting smacked around by the Saints. You know, Jimmy Winston went 14 of 20 for 148 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's already eaten the W for the Saints. I mean, we may have been missing out on this for years. And Connor's favorite person of all time, Aaron Rodgers, went 15 for 28 for 133 yards, 2 interceptions, and 0 touchdowns. I didn't watch this game, but I did go back and look, and it seemed like the Packers were stuck being one-dimensional. They didn't have any rushing yards, and I think people kind of slept on how good the Saints defense is. Connor, what did you think about that game?
Well, I was very disappointed in the Packers. I really expected a lot more. I had a six-game parlay. That was my only loss of the weekend, was the six-leg parlay, and that was due to the Packers totally blowing that game. Really expected a lot more out of them, but hats off to the Saints. They really pulled off that win. Their defense played lights out. The turnovers really helped them. Winston didn't have a whole lot to that he had to do. I mean, you said 133 yards, and they had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Winston had 148 yards. Rodgers was the one with 133.
But 148. Nonetheless, they had similar yards.
Right. The point still stands. He didn't have to do too much. You know, 14 pass completions for 148 yards. know, that's about a little more than 10 yards of completion, 5 touchdowns. I mean, those are numbers you don't see too often.
I mean, 70% completion rate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for, especially after having to follow up Drew Brees leaving the team. That's a tough act to follow.
For sure. For sure. And let's not sleep on you, Connor, having a fantastic gambling weekend. I mean, this was technically your first full-on gambling weekend, and you only lost one bet.
Right. I chose 2 underdogs, money line. I chose the Chargers to win their game, and I chose the Eagles to beat the Falcons. I did not expect them to kick the crap out of the Falcons. I just wanted a win out of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, arguably, you might be the hottest gambler on the show right now.
I also had a bet that Cooper Kupp was going to get a touchdown last night, and there were really good odds on that. I think it was plus 350 at the time that I bet it, and it was not too long before the game actually started.
Yeah, you nailed it. You had player props in there. You had money line underdogs in there. I mean, it's electric. Hopefully we get some more bets from you that we can follow along with.
It's that beginner's luck, so I don't want to get too high on it right now.
Beginner's luck. There's no such thing as beginner's luck, Connor. Come on.
We'll see week 2 how that goes, and I'll let you know if that's a thing or not.
That is true. Week 2 is a very dangerous week to bet on because there's always those overreactions from week 1, and it's always a crapshoot. But
right.
Connor, what would you say your biggest surprise was from week 1?
My biggest surprise would have been the Pittsburgh-Buffalo game, how dynamic Pittsburgh was when they came out. Everyone was pretty much writing them off in this game. They really balled out against Josh Allen, keeping him contained really early on. I have him in fantasy, and I know that I wasn't seeing anything in the first half, point-wise at least, from him. But Buffalo tried to come back at the end. It didn't seem like it was going to happen. And I underestimated Big Ben. I do that every year. I said 3 years ago he was done, and I've been kicking myself for being so wrong about that. But Big Ben's balling out. Not so much Najee Harris. I wanted to see a lot more out of him. But Big Ben's taking the lead.
That's very big of you, Connor, to admit your faults and the people you counted out and that you shouldn't have. But yeah, no, I mean,
a few years ago, he had a pretty big injury, and I was like, maybe he should just be done. But clearly, I was definitely wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see. I still think the Steelers defense is fantastic. You know, it's almost as if, you know, over the course of this offseason, everyone forgot how good some of these defenses were, and they just assumed the offenses would dominate early on.
I think that's a typical mindset going into a season. Everyone's ready to score, but not look for the other side of the ball to stop that.
Right, right. And coming from me, you know, a typical unders better, I'm looking the opposite direction. I'm typically looking at the defense and seeing which defense can hold them. But, good job on the Steelers. Everyone had Josh Allen as an MVP favorite going into this year. And starting out, they stifled him pretty much.
Hoping that change within the next couple of weeks. Of course, first 3 weeks are when you really find out who these teams are. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Connor, anything else you want to talk about week 1 wise before we move on?
Week 1, I had mentioned this to you this morning. I would not count Atlanta out quite yet. They showed a lot of promise on offense. They got killed with penalties. If they can clean up those penalties, I think their offense is really dynamic. Their defense really needs to tighten it up. I did not expect the Eagles to ball out like they did. 32-6, I was not expecting anywhere even close to that. I thought it was going to be a field goal at the end to win the game for either side.
Yeah, absolutely, right on. And I hope you're right. I hope the Falcons do kind of figure it out because, like, you know, in previous episode, I have the Falcons over, and I did confirm, Connor, it is over 7.5 wins this season. So,
okay. Well,
and the other episode, you know, I picked the Falcons to win their division, which is now looking very laughable, kind of like everyone did when I first suggested it. But, hey, anything can happen, right? It's only week 1.
It's week 1. No overreactions.
That's right.
Got to leave it on an even keel, move on to week 2, and then analysis of week three to see who the real teams are that are going to play. I had a great week with the Chargers playing the Washington football team. I have the football team under 7.5 wins, I believe, or maybe 8.5. And Chargers, I have over 10.5. And with the Chargers beating the Washington football team, that really sets me ahead.
Yeah, for sure. You're looking pretty good on those. And then my under was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they maybe lost to the second worst team in the league by, like, you know, a good chunk of points. So hopefully that trend stays.
Yeah, at least one side of it looks good, like starting out.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now this second topic of the day, and this is going to be interesting, but we're talking daily fantasy. Now, a lot of times, you know, a lot of people play regular fantasy, but I think daily fantasy is starting to grow in popularity because people don't like paying attention every single week of the season. They like maybe even paying attention to just a single game as opposed to the whole slate of games. And so Connor over here said he likes some daily fantasy sports. So I said, let's do one tonight for Monday Night Football. So we will each give out our lineups and discuss some reasoning behind it.
So the biggest reason I wanted to start doing this is because I had mentioned my favorite part of fantasy football is always the draft. And then once the draft is over, I feel just like, well, this is my team I'm stuck with. But if I can start doing that more often, like the best part to me, that'd be great. And win some money along the way.
There you go. And at least from FanDuel's perspective, we know that your sportsbook money and your daily fantasy money is all in one pot. So if you've been following along with us for a while, you've built up a nice bankroll of your regular sportsbook money. That money then transfers over and you can use it for daily fantasy contests. So both me and Connor, we entered the same contest, so we'll see which of us is superior tonight. But Connor, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and give my lineup and my reasoning, and then you'll go ahead and give yours.
Absolutely.
Okay, so with my lineup, and this is basically how it works, there were five people that you could submit in your lineup from tonight's game, Ravens versus Raiders, and you could submit any five people. But the key is there's one person that you label as your MVP, and they get 1.5 times the number of points. So my MVP I chose for tonight is Lamar Jackson. Now, I think a lot of people will choose Lamar Jackson as their MVP tonight, but I think, and that's just because, you know, quarterbacks score more points than anybody else. But the reason I think he gets the advantage here at MVP is because of his running capabilities. Running touchdowns and running yards get more points than passing because, you know, quarterbacks pass a lot more. They get more yards, more passing yards, more passing touchdowns. So to make it even, they give an advantage to running and receiving. So I think with Lamar Jackson's running possibility to get more points than your typical average player or your average quarterback, I think him as MVP is a no-brainer. My second pick, I went Derek Carr. Plain and simple here, I already said it. You know, quarterbacks get more points. I'm going to go ahead and eat the number of dollars I had to spend to stay under the salary cap. I'm going to go ahead and eat that and go Derek Carr. Then I went Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown. I think a lot of people will go with Sammy Watkins over Marquise Brown. Sammy Watkins was kind of their highly regarded player that they signed in free agency. And I think he will be a hot play in daily fantasy. So I'm going I'm trying to go with the maybe lesser owned here. I'm going Marquise Brown, which I could be totally wrong on own percentage, but that's just how I'm thinking in my head. Then I went Mark Andrews. This one seems like a no-brainer. He's a little bit more of a chalky pick. I know he's going to probably be higher owned, but Lamar loves to throw to this guy no matter where they are in the field, and so he should see plenty of points. And then my final kind of sleeper here, my longer shot, the one that I think not many people will own, Bryan Edwards. Connor, before we talked about it earlier, did you have any idea who Bryan Edwards was?
I did not.
I did not either. But I noticed he was a little bit higher cost than Willie Snead, which I've heard of before. Hunter Renfrow was in around that same area. So I'm like, who is this Bryan Edwards character? It turns out He is the number two wide receiver for Las Vegas behind Henry Ruggs. So that means he beat out Hunter Renfrow and Willie Snead for the number two spot. So I think he will fly under the radar, and I think he will see some red zone targets and possible catches. All right, Connor, grace us with your lineup for Daily Fantasy for the game tonight.
So first three were very similar. The exact same, to be honest.
Yep.
So Lamar Jackson, I chose him for my 1.5. As you mentioned, a lot of people are going to pick that. I think that's an easy pick to start with. Derek Carr is my number two. Easy to pick two quarterbacks, get you a lot of points. Marquise Brown was number three. And then we move on to a different player. So I chose Justin Tucker so I can see how much I would have left under the salary cap. I wanted some points from a kicker, and then I wanted to see if I had enough left over for a decent player. And that last player I went for was Sammy Watkins, a guy that I underestimated even as a Chief. So I think Sammy Watkins is going to ball out. I think he's going to just take off with the Ravens. I think Lamar and him are going to have great connections.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Now, before we move on, I just kind of want to mention some things to note when doing Daily Fantasy. You know, we want to help everyone who's maybe new to Daily Fantasy Sports and do stuff. I mean, we're fairly new to it, too. I'm not acting like we're any kind of an expert or have any kind of experience. When you think of regular fantasy football, you know, you want the players that score the most points on any given night. That's not necessarily the case with these Daily Fantasy games. So you have a certain salary cap that you have to stay under. And so it's a lot more about value picks. Connor got his value pick with Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker's going to put up points. He's the Ravens kicker. He's arguably the best kicker in the league. So he's going to put up points, and Connor got him on the cheap. So that would allow him to pick higher value players. For me, it was Bryan Edwards, you know, so you want people that are probably going to be less owned, but still put up more points than what they're going for salary cap wise.
Right. You don't want to put the house on three players and have nothing left over for someone who's probably going to sit on the bench, maybe play a couple snaps.
Exactly. They play it, so you have to manage your money well and correctly. And, you know, this is one where I wish Diz was on the pod today, because Diz always preaches value, and I think value is even more important here in Daily Fantasy. But yeah, we might be, you know, messing around with these Daily Fantasy Sports things more often now. We might even do them every Monday night and Thursday night for those games, because they're single games. Or we might even mess around and try to do a full week NFL Daily Fantasy. But I think this is the start of something new, and it might be the start of something big for us.
I agree. I think it's exciting.
It is, and you're absolutely right. Maybe you have a crappy fantasy football team that's going to be there the whole season, and you can't really fix it. This is something that you can change every single day or every single week, and you can get the players that you wanted to get that you couldn't get, or maybe players that you think are underrated or are going to ball out on any given game. Anything else, Connor, you want to add before we move on to the best bets of the night?
I do want to say that we did start with a beginner league. Like you said, we are not experts. We're in a 50-50 league to start it out, because we are not pros at this quite yet. But we'll find out after week one just how good we are.
That's right, and that's a very good point. So there are different levels of, lobbies or daily fantasy games that you can get in. If you're like us and it's your first time jumping a beginner league, you know, they limit, like, I think after like 5 or 10 contests, they will no longer allow you to be in those beginner contests. So take advantage of being able to be in those beginner contests, learn from them. It's kind of like regular sports betting too, whereas you will put in an initial dollar amount. So I know they have $1 dollar amounts leagues. They have $5 amount contests. So again, I wouldn't change the amount that you're betting to join these daily fantasy leagues. But you can do 50-50s where the top half get money, the bottom half don't. You can do a typical contest where the prizes are a little bit higher, but only like the top 20% make it in. So lots of different possibilities there, and mess around with it and have fun. But remember, you are still using money for that you would use on your sports book or somewhere else. So you still, we want you to gamble responsibly. All right. So moving on, review my best bets from Sunday. I went 1-2, had a couple really close calls, but that's gambling. And in the best bets competition, I am up 0.08 units, and I don't know where Diz is, but he is not quite to where I am. So that is that. So let's move on to my best bets of the night. I got two in the MLB, and of course I got one for the NFL. I'll start in the MLB. I'm going St. Louis Cardinals first five money line versus New York Mets. Lefty Rich Hill is going for the Mets. 3.82 ERA with a 4.47 expected, and a 4.01 ERA without spider tech. Righty Adam Wainwright is going for the Cardinals, and man, he's been super hot of late. He has a 2.98 ERA with a 3.83 expected, and a 2.30 ERA without spider tech. So that's just incredible. And then surprisingly, the Cardinals are the better hitting team here. So the Mets are 21st in the league in hitting righties. The Cardinals are actually 8th in the league in hitting lefties. So I love Cardinals first five money line here. My next baseball pick, this is the bold one. I find myself having bold takes. I was going for the Dodgers, and I know what you're thinking. Clayton Kershaw, he like almost wins Cy Young every year, and he's really freaking good. But this isn't the Kershaw of old. He hasn't been as good as he normally is. He has a 3.39 ERA with a 3.23 expected, and a 3.50 ERA without spider tech. So he's averaging giving up about one less run per nine innings than Zach Gallen is. So I think this pitching matchup is a lot closer than it would normally be in normal years, but I think this year it's a lot closer. And then finally, the Dodgers are the fourth best hitting team against righties, but the Diamondbacks are the second best hitting team against lefties. And so the Diamondbacks have the hitting advantage, the slight hitting advantage. I think the Dodgers have the slight pitching advantage, but I think they're going to cancel each other out, and I think this is going to be close, so I'm going Diamondbacks first five plus 1.5. And then my final best bet of the night in the NFL, I'm going Raiders plus 4.5 versus the Ravens. I'm kind of fading the public here. So everyone thinks they know everything about football. We've kind of found this out week one with a lot of people not having a successful week one, except for Connor here, of course. But when I was looking at this morning, 57% of the bets and 71% of the money was coming in on the Ravens. So I'm going the other direction because I think people think they're smarter than they actually are. And I think that this is the first full capacity game at the Raiders' new stadium in Las Vegas. So I think it's going to be wild in there. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. And the Ravens don't really have a running back. They've lost three running backs this year to season-ending injuries already, and they haven't even kicked off week one. So I don't know what their running game will look like. I mean, obviously they have Lamar Jackson. He's a running back almost in it himself. But we all know the Raiders are a week 1-6 team. So I'm taking the Raiders in the points here.
I think I'm going even crazier than you. I have a risk-free bet on FanDuel, thanks to Pat McAfee. So be sure to read the details on that if you are going to use it. But I'm actually choosing the Raiders money line because it is worse odds than the minus 200, which is part of the rules for the risk-free bet. So if the Raiders win, I get 18 bucks off of that. And I will be rooting for the Raiders tonight.
Let's go. Bet together, win together. We're all in on the Raiders here on Sports Betting by Dummies. That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So the Hail Mary parlay of the day, it's already dead. I took the Yankees first five this morning, and then this afternoon they just got totally smashed by the Twins. The Yankees were the hottest team in baseball for a while, and now they're the opposite direction. They're like the coldest team in baseball. So I don't even know what to think there, but hopefully on Thursday's episode, I'll be able to get you guys a good Hail Mary parlay of the day. Connor, anything you want to get off your chest before we wrap up this episode?
Just a couple things. I want to say the Eagles' red zone defense is absolutely on fire. They stopped the Falcons twice in the red zone after they drove easily downfield and held them to only 6 points. Another thing I wanted to mention was that we didn't talk about the Colts. As a Colts fan, how confident are you in your team?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up. And I'm going to say this now, and I think this is going to be a common overreaction that people are going to have. People are ready to write off the Colts already. I went to the IU football game on Saturday in Memorial Stadium, where we actually did the live podcast from. And IU beat Idaho by 42 points on Saturday. I watched all of the Colts game yesterday. The Colts lost by 12 points to the Seattle Seahawks. I saw more positives out of the Colts losing by 12 than Indiana University winning by 42 points. Now, I'm not going to get too much details here, but I think the Colts only giving up four touchdowns to probably a team that's going to be a top five off season, I think was fantastic. I think our run game looked really, really good. I think the things that we need to work on, we need to work on protecting Carson Wentz. I think I heard he got rushed like 15 or pressured 15 times, got sacked like four times maybe. So we need to shore up that offensive line, which I know we will once we get our starting left tackle, Eric Fisher, back. And we really missed T.Y. Hilton as a deep threat to kind of open up the passing game a little bit. So we're a little beat up to start the season, but I'm not ready to write off the Colts just yet. And with as bad as the Titans looked yesterday, I still feel pretty good about the Colts winning the division.
So I wanted to bring up Carson Wentz as well as an Eagles fan.
Yep.
I hope the best for Carson Wentz. I would have loved for him to stay with the Eagles, but it didn't seem like it was a right fit anymore. So I'm glad he moved on to the Colts. I think him under Frank Reich is going to be just terrific. I don't think week one is anything to judge him off of, although I do like that there were no turnovers by him. So he does need more protection. He's getting hammered like he did with the Eagles, and I think they need to do a better job of that. I'm worried that it's going to turn into an Andrew Luck situation. I know Colts don't like to hear that. But I did see a lot of positives out of Carson Wentz. I think he is still holding onto the ball too long, but that's something he can work on with Frank Reich.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to make one comment. You could arguably give one turnover to Carson Wentz. It's kind of like a weird one. It was fourth and one, and they tried to snap it to him and kind of do a quarterback sneak, but he just never got onto it. So I don't know if you blame that on the center, if you blame that on Carson Wentz, whatever, but you kind of technically count that as a turnover, but he didn't throw any interceptions. So that's good. But yeah, hopefully nothing but good things going forward. The Colts have a very tough Rams team this week. I'm very concerned about that game as well, but the Colts historically start slow and then kind of catch fire as we get going. So I'm not too worried about a week one loss for the Colts.
No, and I put that up to Mark Sanchez's curse with the butt fumble.
Oh no, you just had to do that, didn't you?
Yeah,
you've been sitting on that one all episode.
Absolutely, especially after seeing Mark Sanchez commentating the other day.
Ugh. It wasn't technically a butt fumble because he didn't go full-on sprint from a shotgun snap and run into his own lineman and fumble the ball.
He didn't go full butt fumble?
Now, did he fumble the ball while being around the butt of our center? Absolutely. But that's neither here nor there. Well, Connor, first off, I just want to say thank you for joining us here on a short notice.
Absolutely. You know I can talk football all day.
Yes, I do. I do know that. And, you know, more and more as this podcast keeps going into this season, it's going to probably transform more and more into a football podcast. But as me and Connor looked earlier today, we got NHL coming up October 15th. I believe NBA starts October 17th. So we're about a month away from a full-blown football, hockey, and basketball podcast.
All right. And I'll start giving my picks for football so you can hold me accountable. And I can't just claim that I won and had a great weekend.
That's right. We need to start hearing it live on the podcast and not and seeing like the receipts, you know? It's like anyone can get on a podcast or on a mic and say, oh yeah, I went, you know, 15-0 this weekend, Connor.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, thank you all for listening. Remember to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at SportsBetByDumb. Feel free to send us DMs, messages, give us picks, advice, recommendations on how to make the show better. We're trying to grow and improve the show. You know, we never want to stop improving, stop growing, because if you stop growing and improving, then you become stagnant and it's not great. And then if this is your first time listening, or even if you're a return listener, do us a favor, wherever you are listening to this podcast, give us a 5-star review on there if you like what you're hearing. We appreciate it. It helps out a ton and could help us grow. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you all on Thursday.